the climbing stick has finally gone metal-free. Our goal for the Carbon SS climbing sticks was to make them as light as possible without sacrificing durability. And we wanted to make them stack flush so they're compact for saddle hunters and tree stand hunters. The new aerospace carbon fiber technology allowed us to achieve ultra-light weight specs and removed all moving parts and hardware for improved durability. The sticks also feature our patent-pending metal-free attachment method that makes setup easier, faster, and quieter. The Carbon SS climbing sticks are made right here in the USA and come with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. For more information, visit latitudeoutdoors.com.
ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to another edition of Bear Bow Hunter Podcast. And today we're going to talk about switching from a compound to a recurve. Today I got with me the expert switcher, the expert compound quitter, Gage Bailey. Gage, are you the expert compound switcher?
I don't know if I would go to that point, but it took me a year to switch over. I had a pretty good teacher, though. That always helps.
Yeah, a good teacher with the compounds.
Yeah.
So, whether you shoot a compound or a trad bow, you still got to have a good boot to get you there. And we have found the LaCrosse Ursa. And the LaCrosse Ursa, it's a boot that was created over 5-year period of time, and a bunch of guys from all over the Western United States have used this thing. So, like, they'd find something wrong with it, they would take it back to the drawing board and fix that thing. And this took 5 years. With the company, LaCrosse has been in the boot business for over 125 years. And so they know what they're doing when they created a boot. And this boot is created for all the stuff that we love to do out here in the West, and all the elk hunting and sheep hunting and moose hunting and all those things. And we have been using them pretty – I've probably got over 30 miles on mine now. And what do you got on yours?
I just started wearing mine, so I got a few miles on there. The one thing I can say about them is all those boots are, you know, pretty high dollar range. If you want a good pair of boot, you have to spend a lot of money, and these are very affordable, and they feel just like all the other boots.
I would go to say that they feel way better.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because they're made out of some things that LaCrosse is proprietary to LaCrosse. They have the Tech Tough infused leather, and if you look at it, you can see that it's been infused.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure what it's infused with, but, like, going through the water and stuff, they haven't shrunk.
Yep. Yep.
And then the one thing about them is, you know, some of those heavy leather boots are really waterproof and nice and stuff, but, boy, you sweat in them.
Uh-huh.
And these things, you don't sweat in. And the reason is because they have they have that super fabric panel that's on the side. That panel, what would you say about that panel? Is it pretty strong?
I would say it's just as strong as the leather. I mean, you touch it and you know it's a rigid piece of material.
Yeah, and it's got a Gore-Tex liner. And the Ursa also features the Vibram Mont outsole. So, and you were just commenting on that today. You like,
yep,
that outsole.
The outsole, for sure. No one else is doing that. And it's just a hardier sole than most of them, and it really keeps your foot stabilized, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, man, maybe it's just because they're new, but, boy, I get a lot of grip.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I was crawling over the rocks up there in, in the Cascades, and I was getting a lot of grip. It's pretty cool boot, man. If you guys haven't checked out the Lacrosse Ursa, you need to check it out. It comes in two different colors. Gage has the brown ones, and I have the what they call the graphite. I think they call them graphite. But they have a EVA sole, so when you're backpacking, you don't have to worry about the sole giving way on you. And they will help you pack the heavy loads through any of the landscape. I don't know if you guys have ever wore boots that have a midsole that kind of is wishy-washy when you start getting pounds on it.
Yeah.
That is not a fun thing to do. So this boot will get you close, you guys. This boot will get you closer. I'm telling you, I'm used to taking in the woods. I'm used to taking my, like my Crocs and getting out of my boot about halfway through. And with these, you don't have to. You can keep that boot on, and it's still like midway. I don't even feel like I have to take it off when I'm taking a nap.
I'm still wearing mine right now, and it's August, and we're fall bear hunting, and the sweat didn't show up, and the feeling of the hot feet and it wasn't there. So yeah, these boots are pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. I think it's something that Lacrosse really put some effort into, and I think you guys should check them out. If you want to check them out, go to lacrossefootwear.com/URSA, URSA, URSA. All right. Now let's get back into, our dog is over there cutting wind. So our duck dog is over there being, but let's talk a little bit about this. So the first thing I want to know from you, Gage, is why in the world did you want to switch to a trad bow?
Okay. So growing up in the Bailey family, you're always watching Larry Jones. You were watching all these other guys shoot bows, and dad's always shot a recurve. I think you switched 1 year because you sold your recurve to somebody or gave your, I couldn't remember, but I only remember using a compound 1 year. So, and watching you take that big 5-point out of the Cascades with your longbow, that was pretty cool. So just the feeling of just a stick and string in your hand, and you don't have any of these gizmos going wrong on you. I had the year before, which really set me in, is I had a ripcord that I was trying to get dialed in, and I just touched it with the Allen and the whole thing blew apart. And that was 2 days before elk season. So when you're 2 days before elk season with a compound and it just broke on you, it's not a good feeling. So you get rid of some of those little gizmos out of there, and I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's a meditation thing when you're shooting a recurve.
You also derailed your bow.
I also did derail my bow, which that was my issue, but that would have never happened with just a trad bow. What happened was, is I was had a heavy pack, and I just drew my bow back just to see what it felt like, and that darn trigger on that release somehow or another went off and derailed my whole bow during elk season. So it wasn't very good.
Yeah, thank goodness it wasn't at full draw when it came apart. But the thing is, so with the trad bow, you just jumped over the trad bow because of the simplicity of it?
Well, basically the simplicity of it and the, I don't know, that when it says tradition, there is a tradition in it. I mean, it does feel like you're back in the old times and you're actually doing it the right way.
The right way, huh? Yeah, well, there are some differences, and there are some big differences.
Yeah, well, when I say right way, these bow seasons were made back when you had a recurve bow. So it was made to get up close and personal. And now these compounds, guys aren't getting as close as they should and making bad shots and stuff like that. And I just think it's a good idea to try to get closer as a person, as a hunter, to get closer to those animals.
I think honestly you're cheating yourself if you don't do that. It's kind of the whole adage of, 50 yards is not hard.
No, not with a compound.
Well, it's not hard to get within an animal to 50 yards.
No.
You break that 50-yard line, boy, it starts getting a lot harder to get close. Probably not so much elk, but deer especially. Elk, sometimes, if you know what you're doing with an elk and you get them mad enough, you'll get really close. But the big thing is switching over, and you brought up a point talking about bows, right? And talking about bow season and when it was set up and things like that. I have nothing against compound bows. The one thing that I do see as being a problem is the opportunities that they are taking away.
Yes, for sure.
And the reason that they're taking away opportunity is because people now, it makes that learning curve a lot less. And so people are just jumping into it. You know, there's first year guys just jumping right in, which is a good thing. We need guys out there.
Well, and when you're talking learning curve, I've been shooting a compound bow for 10 years and then switched over to traditional bow. And it took me a good year and a half to even be confident in taking that thing in the woods and trying to shoot an animal with it. So the learning curve is completely different from a traditional bow to a compound bow.
Yeah. And what I'm to the point of the opportunities that it's causing is, so if you, and as technology continues to go forward, bows just get easier and easier to hit animals at longer ranges with. So you don't have to have a lot of the woodsmanship that you build over the years with, you know, even some older compounds were that way. You know, you still had to get close. And I think that's one of the big things that I see moving within the compound world as people shooting these long shots that are very doable, right? But we're given a season because it's supposed to be a primitive, get up in your face kind of season. And when we could shoot at 50, 60 yards and be very proficient at it, there's a lot more people out there able to get into elk a lot sooner.
For sure.
And I'm not trying to be like an elitist or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is, you could look all across the West and look at bow seasons and see what's happening. I mean, and it's because of success rates, and not just success rates, but more people getting out, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, we have to understand that, one thing is, we need to put it in its right context, I think.
Well, and then traditional bows, too, it makes you become a better hunter. And with that being said, 50 yards, you can see the animal pretty well at 50 yards. But when you're getting to that 20-yard range and you can see the scars on them and everything else, it's just a different type of hunting. And it has more I have more fun doing it because just getting close to those animals is a whole different perspective than 50 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, it's everybody hunts for certain purposes, and that's one of them that I've always hunted for, and it's always been elk. Now, I can't say that. I've had some big deer under my stand really close, some big blacktails, big ones, that, you know, because of the trad bow, I hit like bottom limb on one of them, and I hit the limb as I was coming around on the other, and so those things were a little bit harder. I never got caught drawn, you know, that's one thing in the tree stand. Never happened to me. But just making that shot's a little bit hard, you know, in the tree stand. But I know a lot of guys that tree stand hunt with compounds that have issues too.
Yep.
But at the same time, I do think that you're not really giving up much for elk with a recurve or a longbow. I don't think you're giving up that much. The big thing is, though, is you do have to limit yourself, and I would say to 25 yards. I've done a lot of looking at things here lately on like trajectories.
Yeah.
And the amount of drop that you have out to 25 yards, depending on, and it doesn't really matter what bow you're shooting, and what arrow setup you're shooting, it shoots pretty flat to 25 yards.
Yeah.
From 25 to 30 yards, you're talking feet difference.
Yeah.
And so that foot difference between, that's harder to compensate for the way we shoot.
Yeah.
You know, the guys shooting gaps and stuff, I think they got it pretty well dialed. But when you're talking those close ranges, I think that's what bow seasons were set up for. And I continue to say that if we keep putting more and more people in the woods and then make those people you know, there's some tags in Eastern Oregon where the bow guys are killing more bulls than the rifle guys. And so when we start doing that, then they have to limit our seasons. That's the only thing that they can do. And so that's why I have, and it's, everybody's going to say it's because you're an old guy that, you know, I used to hunt general season across the state with a bow tag. So I've seen opportunity go away.
Yeah.
and I don't want to see more opportunity go away. That's a rant that we kind of got on. I didn't really want to get on that rant. I just kind of wanted to talk about the differences between and some of the reasons that you change too is, you know, simplicity. Also, you rely on being a human predator more than you do a machine.
Yeah.
That's something that always appealed to me. I would like to hunt with a spear.
Yeah.
There's like a bear, like where we were this morning, bear hunting in there with a spear would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, a big boar spear, so you can't climb up it and eat you, but it would be neat to do that. Yeah. And I think there's something in that, right?
Yeah.
To be that intimate in your hunting is a big deal. I mean, even when you're shooting grouse with a bow, with, you know, with a trad bow, it's just completely different than.
Well, I felt like I lost something with the compound. I was losing something that should have been there. So, you know, shooting my bow wasn't as much fun as it used to be, you know, going to the 3D ranges and all that. It just wasn't as much fun as I used to have. It's like, I'm just shooting my bow again and then switching over. Right. It just relit the fire for sure.
It's like throwing a football. You know, people probably don't do this nowadays, but when I was a kid, we'd go out and throw a baseball.
Yeah.
We'd throw a baseball for an hour.
Yep.
And it was just fun. Mm-hmm. And archery is the same way when you're doing that. Now, when you start, it would be a whole lot different if I would just go out there and catch off a pitching machine.
Yeah, for sure.
When you start having, you know, putting all the mechanical stuff into things, it does take some of the humanity out of it. And I think, especially in the world we're living in now, I think we have to get back to some of our humanity and back to our what we were created to do.
Yeah.
And use some of that creativity that God gave us. And I think that's one of the big things, big draws, I think, for me. Another big draw is I just like the bow. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people shot with those.
Yep.
Only over the last 100 years, maybe?
100 years? And I'm 70 years? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been shooting compounds. Yeah. So, not that that's a thing, and not that I'm down on compounds, because I think compounds kept bow hunting around too.
Yeah.
It's just, I think we have to really look at how we approach, our hunting. I think we really have to look at how we approach it. And, all you compound guys that are out there, they're especially the new guys that say been in it for the last 4 years, 3 years, the Joe Rogan crowd is what I like to call them. And then we love having those guys. I think that's essential to have. But try to get closer. Try it. Just try it. See, work on your woodsmanship skills, and see how much more you love hunting when you get within 25 yards of an
animal.
I tell
you what, the experience is way different.
It's a lot different. So with that said, that's kind of why you switched, right? You wanted to get more primitive.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's the big difference, just shooting style? What did you find different between the two? Is it a big crutch to have a compound?
So the big difference I found was you don't have let off, so you can't just sit there and draw your bow back forever. And another thing was if you don't shoot it the same way every time, you are definitely not going to hit the target. So when I first started shooting the trad bow, I would just pull back and like I would with a compound, pull back and shoot, pull back and shoot, pull back and shoot. And I was always worried about my anchor point. I'm like, man, my anchor point is on every time. I don't understand what the difference is. Well, you got your bow hand, you got your let off, you got your back tension. There's all these things that muscle memory, well, as soon as you get good, then the muscle memory takes over. But there's all these things that you had to be good at before you would even hit the target. I ruined 12, 15 arrows before I actually started getting pretty good. So that's the biggest thing. And figuring out, you don't have to figure out your yardages. I don't know. It's just instinct, I guess. You know where to aim. You know where to pick a spot.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think in all bow hunting, you shouldn't really have to worry about your yardages. I think the only time you really have to worry about your yardages with a compound is when you're shooting farther than you should be.
Yeah.
When you're shooting those drops. Because if you look at the arrow drop, if you run the trajectory, like my bow And compounds are going a little bit faster, but yeah. You're only talking...
Feet per second is nothing,
feet per second.
300 feet per second to, yeah, 150 is not that much different. Yeah.
And so when you're talking, when you're seeing this drop going, 48 inches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then to go 50, you're talking another 48 inches. Yeah, for sure. And so when you're talking these kind of drops, that is... the only way you're going to really do that well is with sights.
Yeah.
And I think so. That's not what the bow used to be like. Now, that doesn't mean, and you always hear the guys, well, Howard Hill, he shot 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And they wounded and missed a lot of animals, too. And so I just think that with a compound, you really only need one pin.
Yeah.
If you're shooting within your effective range,
yeah,
I would extend your range probably 35 yards.
Yeah,
but that's what bow hunting's all about.
Yeah, for
bow
sure.
Bow hunting's not about 100 yards.
Yeah, and I know guys that shoot 100 yards at targets and stuff, and which is totally fine. I mean, if you're just doing target shooting, why not? I mean, it makes it fun.
Well, there's always that time when you do get an arrow in,
and that's what I was saying is it's like, so do I mean those guys that do practice that and are keeping their shooting range from 30 yards, and then they do get an arrow in one, and they have a chance to get another arrow in one at 80 yards, and you can shoot it at that, then yeah, that's totally fine. Which would be a lot harder for me if I put an arrow in one and try to shoot at 80 yards with my traditional bow.
Yeah, the last bull that I shot,
you got super close.
But that was probably that... second shot was probably like 150 yards. Yeah. And I just don't, I held way above his head.
Yeah.
And I still hit in between his back legs. But the thing is, I think traditional bow hunting really isn't taking that much out of you. If you're hunting for that same reason, right? For the same purpose that we're hunting for. That's one of the big reasons that we hunt with a bow is because we're trying to get close. And, I see it all over, Instagram and things like that, where guys are, getting, they're shooting 100-yard shots on animals and things like that. And you could do it all day long, and yeah, it's probably ethical, but are you hurting your sport by doing that?
Yeah.
Are you hurting your seasons by doing that? Those are the things I think we need to talk about. It's a season thing to me. It's an opportunity thing. If we could shoot the same distances as a muzzleloader, then they're going to start giving us the same amount of seasons as a muzzleloader. And then if the muzzleloaders could shoot the same as a rifle, that's just the way it's going to be. So that's where we're at with that. So on one of the big things too, with the compound now, the sights.
Yep.
Was that hard to deal with, is trying to figure out what you're supposed to do shooting a trad bow?
No. Shooting a trad bow, you don't have any of that worry. I could go from 20 yards to 35 yards to 40 yards, and the distance. It's a weird feeling because it's all instinctive, but the distance, and where you need to aim, and you don't even know what yardage is at. You just know that target's at this distance, and you need to aim at this spot.
Or that it's out of range.
That's
another part of that, is out of range.
But when you're in that close, I'm saying 20 to 30 yards, when you're in that range, where to point at.
Yeah.
Even with a compound, you're so close to the animal where that's how it's supposed to be, and you're going to make a good shot.
Yeah, that was one of the things with compounds that I saw too, is I've been around some guys that are really good shots with their compounds, like 100 yards and 70 yards. They're holding groups that are, 6 inches at 70 yards is a good compound shot.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I've been with those people when they've hit animals and then they got a bad shot on them, and then they couldn't get back on that animal because they had so many gizmos that they had to try to get. It's like, put an arrow in it. Well, I don't have a range. Well, just start flinging arrows,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And I think the compound has kind of done that to us.
Yeah.
There's people probably that are really uncomfortable
yeah.
when they pull up there and they haven't ranged anything, yep. and a bull comes in at 20 yards.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
and go do this to your target. You know it's a 30-yard shot. Use your 20-yard pin. You're only going to be an inch low at 20 yards with your 30-yard pin, or with vice versa. So you know that you don't need to range that. I mean, there's no point. Your 20 and 30 are going to do the job. So it, like Dad said before, is one pin is all you really need on a compound.
Yeah, if you're shooting at the bow range, that's what I think. Unless I know there's guys out there shooting, like antelope out of blinds and things like that. And honestly, I don't think antelope is really an animal that's that.
Yeah.
I bet you the Indians shot a few of them.
Yeah.
But they were doing it probably by just sitting on cliffs somewhere. And
definitely a hard animal to get close to.
Right, right. And mule deer aren't. You know, guys are sneaking up. Yep. I mean, people are touching
getting
them.
Getting 5 yards. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then elk. I mean,
every elk we've called in, I there's a couple that we've, 60 yards.
And, yeah, we could have probably shot at.
Yeah, but majority of them have been at 30 yards.
And under.
And under, yeah, right. For sure.
Right, and the biggest thing on an elk, it really isn't, they're pretty easy to get close. The hardest part's finding them.
Yeah.
So, you're really not limiting yourself by not having sights.
No, I don't think so at all.
I think that's one of the things that you're not limiting.
I think it's actually a plus side from not having
sights.
It is.
I think so too.
It's something you're taking out of the equation. It's something you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, and then I see, I see these guys saying, well, I picked my top pin when it was at 30 yards, and I'm thinking that's not going to make you shoot over the top of an animal.
No. You're talking an inch.
Yeah, maybe. So the difference, I'd have to run it.
It all depends on what their feet per second is and how heavy their arrow is and everything else. But you can barely
3 inches.
Yeah. So, your eye can barely tell the difference between the 20 and 30 pin nowadays. Yeah. They're so close together.
Yeah. So I don't understand some of it. I don't understand how people are like, well, I got too close and I shot over his back. No. You got buck fever and shot over his back.
Yeah.
Which, we've done.
Yeah,
right?
I've done plenty of times.
But I'm saying if you got too close and shot over his back, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's what bow hunting's about, is getting that close. And I guarantee you, once you've done that, you probably won't shoot under their back next time or over their back. You'll get your wits about you. And
A lot of guys will bring the argument up saying that, like, oh, yeah, well, 30 to 40 yards on my bow, I shot underneath his belly. Well, I was like, yeah, but you're in a tree stand aiming at his heart while you should have been aiming a little bit higher and using, the right pin. So that there is scenarios where you can use the wrong pin and screw up. But, yeah. Flat ground, most of your pins, your 20 to 30 yard, you can use that pin for both yardages and it'll work just fine.
Right. So we say all that to say that within the yardages that we're going to hunt, we don't need sights.
No, not at all.
If we can't make that shot out to 25, that's what I'm saying anymore. I used to go to 30, and and I've shot a lot of things 30 to 50. I've shot grouse at 50 yards, and I've shot at turkeys at, and hit turkeys at, 45, 50 yards. But you're still having to hold over. You're not even seeing the animal on the spots that you're picking. Not with my bows.
No.
Not with any trap bow, really. If you're shooting a heavy arrow.
Yeah.
If you shoot a hunting weight arrow.
Yeah.
You're picking spots over the top of those animals. Mm-hmm. You're finding something that's over the top of them.
Yeah.
A couple, 4 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And when you're sending out that far. So that's kind of what we're talking about here that's why we don't think that a trad bow is that big of a disadvantage unless you're shooting at those yardages that we really don't think that are part of a bow hunting type scenario. And we understand, with modern bow hunting and modern compounds and stuff, guys are doing it all the time.
Yeah.
We understand that, but what we're saying is we're going to continue to lose. So the way I see it is we're going to continue to lose opportunity if we continue to go down this route, and if that's the way that we want bow hunting to go, then I guess, and I think that's the way majority of guys are going to want it to go, because they could shoot at those longer yardages. But I think almost eventually they're probably going to make us not hunt the prime spots of the rut.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's only going to be a few tags.
Yeah. And it's going to take you a couple points to get.
A couple?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only a few in Oregon that take less than, you know. And so it's getting to the – it's going to get to the point where – I mean, I said this back in 2000 – I have it on video in 2017. Yeah. I said, we're going to lose opportunities. And everybody thought I was poo-pooing then.
Yeah.
And now look at it. We've lost opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and then great Uncle Lloyd, Dad's uncle, he was telling stories over the campfire, and he used to hunt Mount Emily general season with a rifle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what, only 50 years?
Yeah, probably 50 now. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not that long. 45,
30 years, 35 years. But, so, rather than just sitting here and talking about...
Ranting about it.
Yeah, we kind of got on a rant. And you guys could, you guys that are shooting some compounds, you could talk to us and tell it, you know, I think it's real. It'd be fun if you went out and limited yourself to 30 yards or even 35 yards, say limit yourself to 35 yards and see how much fun you have.
Yeah.
Especially you guys that have shot a lot of animals out 60 and 65, just don't do it anymore. Just make yourself go to 30.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think you guys would really dig it. So the other thing about the recurve, what's another reason to go to a recurve? I know there's one reason that would have been really nice when we were around that 6 point that you, when you derailed your bow.
Yeah. Well, so when I derailed that bow, I was shooter that day. So yeah, woohoo. I derailed my bow and I was shooter. So I ended up not being shooter that day. And it would have been if I didn't derail my bow, there would have been probably an elk dead, because we came across a corner where we were cow calling, and coming down into this draw, down in the bottom of that draw, there was a wallow, and we've been there before, so we knew the elk were in there, so we were just waiting for it, and we turned around the corner, and lo and behold, there was a 6 point there, and no one was there to shoot it, because the guy that was shooter was behind us. I was supposed to be shooter, but I derailed my compound bow, and if I had a trad bow, it would have been a done deal. I mean, I could have just picked up and shot.
One of the things too that I think one of the big things that I think people don't realize about trad bows are, you could shoot them at any. I don't do it. I haven't done it on big game, but any angle, as long as your plane of your bow arm, your draw arm, your back, that plane doesn't get compromised. No. You could bend at the waist and bend completely over and shoot underbrush and shoot over brush. Yeah. I've done it on squirrels and I've done it with grouse.
Yeah.
And
well, and you can cant your bow as much as you'd like.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you keep that plane exactly the same as you're doing it. You can't move your head off the plane and everything else. It's got to be the same thing as you're standing still. And you can't do that with a compound. That's another thing that kind of limits yourself, and you know, and I say this, but I don't know if I've ever even had to for an elk. There was a couple times I could have, that I just plain didn't shoot, and it wasn't because I couldn't shoot, it was because I didn't have enough wits about me. I called in the first two bulls I called in, I didn't shoot with a bow in my hand, you know, because we were calling bulls, way before I started hunting them, and so I got used to just calling them and then just letting them go away. Well, first two that I called when I had a bow in my hand, call them in, and I forgot that I was actually hunting them. And so I could have shot. And one of them, I was sitting underneath a big Doug fir tree. And you know how you have the limbs on the Doug firs where they come over the top of you? I couldn't have shot vertical through that tree. I would have had to bend down and cant the bow a lot. But I still could have done it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I practice those shots now.
Yep.
Another thing about the trad bow, I think that is, and I think it's actually something that you looked at, is when we're going through the woods and we're elk hunting and we're goofing off, we're shooting a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And compound guys are not shooting a ton.
Maybe a little too much sometimes.
Yeah, right. But at the same time.
No, you're not ruining arrows at all. I mean, you can shoot a rotten stump all day long and that arrow will be just fine.
Yeah, and you know, that says something about... people, you know, talk about, well, if you're not running arrows, then you're probably not shooting fast enough or hard enough or whatever. But that's not how an arrow kills. An arrow kills by getting through
the animal.
Yeah.
It's just shoving a knife through an animal.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, as long as my arrow will go completely through a bull, which our arrows are set up to do that. Yeah, we're shooting 650 grain arrows. Yep. It's going to do it all day long. But at the same time, at the other token, we carry a lot of flu-flus with us. You know, we're going to shoot grouse out of trees.
Yep.
And we just shoot quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, last year was my first year hunting with the trad bow all season long. And I carried that flu-flu with me. And I think I annoyed the compound guys because I was just shooting everything.
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, and that's part of it, too. Is another thing is, I hear about guys with compounds, you know, putting an arrow on and pulling it back in the mornings and getting used to it. But if you're shooting all the time, it's kind of like once you get your form down and once you're shooting well, it's kind of like falling off a bike.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that comes back every year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. You know, they talk about instinctive shooting. You got to shoot a lot. Once you do to get your form and to get your muscle memory and all that. But once you got that, it comes
pretty darn quick.
You're
pretty much dialed. I took like a 2-3 month break from shooting and then just now picked my bow back up and I'm still shooting perfect.
It's like playing basketball, right? Yeah. I played a lot of basketball in high school and then Chase started playing. So I came back into it. And yeah, there was a little bit of rust there,
yeah.
But it took me, what, 3 games maybe? Yeah. And I was dominating on the court. Yep.
Right back into it, dominating.
No, but I was actually making the same shots that I would make when I was in high school.
Yep.
And it's all that muscle memory stuff. And I think it does take some people longer than other people.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that I would like to say, though, about the switching from compound to traditional. It shouldn't be an ego thing.
No,
it shouldn't be like, well, I'm shooting a trad bow, so you know, mm-hmm. you guys are shooting training wheels.
Yeah,
I don't think that. I know guys that shoot compounds that shot trad bows all their life. They can't shoot a trad bow now. Yeah. They just can't. They can't hold it because their shoulders are all screwed up from shooting too heavy of trad bows.
And thank goodness there's a compound bow out there so they can still hunt.
Right, and for the people coming into bow hunting, like I told you, you were like, mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot a trad bow. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to kill some animals before you shoot the trad bow.
And I definitely think, because you're still a bow hunter if you're using a compound bow. And I think it was a lot easier for me to go to traditional because I shot a compound for so long. So just picking up a recurve with never, ever shooting a bow, I think it's going to be a little more difficult for you to learn how to do it if you've never shot a bow before ever.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite a bit harder, for sure. Honestly. Because there's still things that you have to do with the compound. Yep. You still got to go through a shot sequence. Yep. You still have to, you know, on a compound, you're pulling against the wall.
Yeah, you do have there is a couple things you can get away with a compound, but there is other things that you still have to be disciplined to shoot a compound bow.
Right, and I think you're right. I think it does help.
Yeah.
But the one thing is, I guess the biggest problem I have with the compound bows is the guys distance. Shooting them too far.
Yep.
And that, in turn, makes it easier, right? And then guys, you know, I talk about this and then guys say, well, yeah, but technology like Onyx.
Yeah.
And they're right.
Yep.
They're right. I think that's probably killed more elk.
Yep, for sure.
And then game cameras, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're right about this. That, all these things. So there's at some point we got to start talking about this because the last thing I want to do is lose more opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
And for everybody.
Yep.
You know. We've brought, I don't know how many people into bow hunting.
A lot.
A ton of people. And they're all shooting compounds, of course. But we've also taught them that, and hopefully they don't get on the kick of, you know, you could shoot all these long ranges, which you can. But at the same time, I don't think that is really the bow hunting game. I really don't. I think we need to keep it close. And if we do, I don't think that the trad bow, once you've been around it a little bit, is that big of a handicap. Yeah.
Well, what's a better story? I got this bull to come in 5 yards from me, and I got to stick him with an arrow. Or, hey, I came across a bull walking across this prairie, and I shot him at 70 yards. And he never knew who I was.
Yeah, I never had any interaction with him. He didn't even know I was there, and I just flung an arrow his way, which I mean, I'll fling an arrow at a bull that doesn't know I'm there. Yeah. Right?
Oh, for sure. But the experience of getting that close is, I don't know, it's just something different about it than being from, you know, 50 to 70 yards away from it.
The woodsmanship of elk hunting, learning how to cut that distance, learning your calls to where your calls will cut that distance.
Yeah.
Knowing when you can move and when you can't move around elk, knowing that, you know, if you get caught, that most of the time you're going to get a second chance to release the arrow. All these little things that, that just by being around elk close, there's some people, I bet you there's some people who shoot compounds that have never experienced some of that stuff. Never smelled the bull before they, until they walked up on it. Never looked a bull in the eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, especially when guys are just, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's very cool that you got your elk as well, but it's just a different feeling when you're getting that close. It you feel like you've been really successful when you get that close, even if you don't get to shoot the bull. Getting, just say, take traditional bows and compounds out of it. Getting close is way more fun than being 50, 70 yards away from it.
Yeah, every day.
Yep.
And I'll tell you another thing too is one of the big reasons that I became a bow hunter is it kept me in the woods longer.
Yeah.
And then you take and you put a trad bow in your hands that keeps you, and that puts you in more, that puts you with more encounters.
Yes.
With an elk. And that's really what I'm after, is I'm after those encounters. I'm after that being in the woods longer. I'm after, and those are the reasons I think most people, other than people that see how cool it is.
Yeah.
And don't realize that, you know, it's not all about the killing of the elk. Yeah. It's the elk hunting.
Yeah, for sure.
Elk hunting is what it's about. Not so much the killing.
Yeah.
The killing's a part of elk hunting, but it's about the whole deal.
Yeah. Well, and when you're getting that close, you get to learn a lot more about the animal you're hunting as well. Like glunking.
Yeah.
But I mean, bull elk glunk a lot. And I never knew that until I got closer to those bulls. Or the flick of an ear from a deer and seeing, you know, like a couple years ago, there was a tick on the deer's ear and I was close enough to see it. That, those kind of things is the cool part about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, with that said, would you say that it was really hard for you to switch over?
It wasn't easy. I don't want to say it was hard because I was having fun the whole time doing it, but it wasn't easy. It's very frustrating. You can ask my wife, because when you miss the target that many times, I even had hay bales behind my target and I was still breaking arrows because I'd shoot over them. But no, I had fun the whole time doing it. I mean, it's definitely self-discipline for sure, and you can't give up. You just can't give up.
Yeah, concentration and thinking that you can. I'll tell you what, the minute that it gets in your brain that, like, oh, I'm going to break this arrow.
Yep.
They call that target panic. Some people can't even shoot a target anymore. But the fact of the matter is, everything, if you're doing your part, that arrow is not going to magically fly off course.
Yep.
And there's nothing magic about all that.
No.
Now, it is mystical, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you are your own sight is a big, that's a weird thing that you can't really, all you could do is concentrate harder.
Yeah.
You can't change any of that.
Yep.
You just concentrate harder. Be in the moment. That's why I have a hard time shooting around the dogs, because they always drive me nuts.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if they're walking around your feet while you're shooting, that'll always mess with you. But it's a good thing to learn that, because I'll tell you what, when a big bull comes in front of you, there's going to be a lot of things going through your head besides concentrate.
Yep.
That's why I put that pick a spot on my bow. Yep,
for sure.
To get me back into thinking and to get me back into intentionally. So there's some intentional movements in traditional archery you got to have. But once you get to through those intentional movements, the rest of it is all supernatural. And all your aiming and all of your release, for me, I'm not thinking about releasing.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yep.
And it happens for some reason when I'm on target.
Yep.
And that, I think that once you get to those points, but all up until that, you have to be intentional about what you're doing. You got to be intentional with your bow hand. Got to be intentional with your tension on your back.
Yep.
You got to be intentional with your anchor. And then once all those intentional things are taken care of, then you give yourself the go ahead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and then it takes over.
Yeah.
Then yourself takes over.
Which, if you're going to a traditional bow and you don't know anybody that hunts with a traditional bow or who can shoot a traditional bow, you do need a teacher. I mean, you do. There's some habits that you can learn that are going to screw you up, and you're not going to break them. The bad habits. I had a bad habit developing. I was plucking the string, and all my arrows kept going right, kept going right, kept going right, kept going right. And all it took was Dad saying, "Hey, do this," and just change the way I was letting the string go, and it took care of all the problems. So if your guys are having issues, Dad's has plenty of videos showing how to shoot a trad bow on YouTube.
And with nowadays with cell cameras, and most all of them have slow motion.
Yeah.
One of the big things that everybody talks about, you know, looking at, I use it for arrow tuning.
Yeah.
I don't do paper tuning or any of that. I look how it's coming out of the bow with a hunting arrow.
Yep.
And if it's coming out of the bow fine, I'm good.
Yep.
I don't need to worry about a bear shaft. Nobody hunts with a bear shaft. Why would you tune with one? I mean, don't get me wrong. Guys are doing it, and they're getting them really.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if I'm able to keep my arrows consistent, and I could shoot those arrows consistently, and I know that the bow and the arrow are consistent, then there's a lot you could do with a slow-motion camera. Heck, you could even send me tapes, slow-motion, and I'll talk to you about what I think you should do. Those slow-motion video helps so much because you could see how your release is doing.
Yeah.
You could see if you're collapsing right before release, which most people do.
Yep.
It takes, that's one of those conscience things that you have to keep telling yourself. I have to tell myself, keep pulling.
Yep.
And it's not really even pulling. You're just not collapsing.
And everyone's got it. Cause it's an excitement factor. Cause you know,
it's
going to go off.
Yeah.
So it's just like pulling a trigger on a gun.
You
just got to keep pulling back, keep pulling back, keep pulling
back. Let it surprise you.
Yep.
And when it surprises you, and there's something supernatural at that part.
Yep.
And I can't put a finger on it. It's metaphysical, so it's outside of my conscious thought.
Yep.
And so when that arrow releases, and it comes from shooting your bow.
A lot, yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even a feeling. It's just something inside of you. Triggers it.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-point shot, man. Yeah. It's like shooting a basketball.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Then it'll go on its own. But you got it. So the things that I have to tell myself, and I don't know if you do this with compounds because I really haven't done a lot of it, but you have to tell yourself, keep on the spot or pick a spot.
Yep.
Keep pulling.
Yep.
And if you do those two things, those are the two conscious things that you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like compound, there is things, you can slap the trigger too hard and have bad flight on your arrows. But at the same time, when you're using your fingers on a string and
you can really screw it up. Yep.
So, there is a lot of similarities on shooting a compound to a trad bow that I found. It's just more intense with a trad bow. I mean, when you pluck the string with a trad bow, you're not hitting even close to where you're trying to shoot.
I've seen it so bad when people pluck strings that they're hitting the arrow shaft on the back end of their riser.
Yeah.
I've seen it that bad.
Yeah.
And if somebody's shooting, I always shoot an overspined arrow, just a little overspined, because it stays straighter coming out of the bow. But I've seen guys that get their spine right on.
Yeah.
And if they pluck, it'll show up like right now, and that arrow flies. Yeah. I've seen some really weird arrow flights before.
Yeah.
I used to shoot aluminum, so I mean, you know, aluminum is real picky stuff. I cracks me up. All these guys are going back to aluminum, and I'm like, you'll never get me to shoot aluminum again. I hate aluminum. You miss once, and that thing's bent forever.
Yep.
And then so you have a quiver full of half bent arrows.
Yep.
And you're like, well, this one corkscrews the way I want it to hit, so I'll shoot that one. You know, I'd much rather shoot wood or carbon. Wood, you know, lets you know when it's broken and you just can't shoot anymore. And carbon, pretty much, if you could bend it and it's not cracking, it's shootable. Yeah. So, and it keeps its straightness. Yep. Whereas, man, you cannot get me to shoot aluminum again. Cracks me up. You guys shooting aluminum? I think it's pretty cool. Don't get me wrong, because you guys are all digging all the old stuff that we had. But at the same time, I'm too old for that. So those are some of the things I think we covered pretty well, why you're switched over to a trad bow. And this year, hopefully, we'll get your first trad kill.
Yeah,
Big game trad kill. And I think elk are the way to do it.
Yeah.
I think elk are pretty much made for traditional archery. I think so. Bull moose are too.
Yeah.
Anything that you call yourself and wants to take you out, I think is probably really good trad stuff. But anyhow, I think we'll jump off of here. And hopefully you guys are digging the podcast. We put a lot of elk content out here lately. And we're going to continue to do it through until the end of elk season. But if you guys could do us a solid and leave us a 5-star review, that helps get this in front of more people. And we really do like bringing people into the sport. I know it sounded like we were kind of like lame and going, man, there's a lot of people out there and, you know, we're losing opportunity and this and that. No, I don't think that that's the issue. I think the issue is we need to look at the lifestyle. I never call it a sport of bow hunting. And understand what we're really trying to accomplish out there.
For sure.
And I think as we bring people in, it's super important. Not that these guys shooting 100 yards, like I guess Cameron Haynes, they do a lift run shoot thing.
Yeah.
And then they have like a yardage limits or no. Yeah. They're doing contests seeing who could shoot the farthest.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Yeah. I honestly think that's cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think as we look at bow hunting, we need to understand that that is not what it was built for. It's built to be close. You know, keep your long range shots at the range and go shoot Bigfoot at 200 yards, you know? And I think that'll keep us going.
Yeah, and it is fun. I've done it. I've shot my bow at 100 yards at targets. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think also, too, if you could shoot at 100 yards, those 20-yard chip shots.
Ours are super easy.
Yep. And so I think that's the cool thing about traditional bows is they kind of force you into not shooting those longer ranges. Yep. And not only that, it's easier to walk through the woods with, and
it's so much lighter,
and you're connected to thousands of years of humanity. Yep. And that's a cool thing. So with that said, I think we're going to jump off of here. Thanks for coming on, Gage.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy this year shooting the trad bow. And I think we're going to have a ball out there.
Get a big old 6-point down with it.
All right. Until then, you guys shoot straight. Thanks for supporting us. If you need some bare bow hunter gear, we do have it over at the Life Outdoors.
And if you guys, one more thing, if you guys want to get into traditional bow hunting, just instant message Dad or I on Life Outdoors or Bare Bow Hunter, and we'll get you set up.
Yeah, we got several guys doing it right now because they lost their seasons.
Yeah.
So now they're doing the trad hunt.
Yeah, for sure.
And so,
one way or another, we're going to get more guys shooting trad, one way or another.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, until then, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Bare Bow Hunter podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Bare Bow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Bare Bow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Bare Bow goodness in them. Bare Bow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.